This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I feel better, maybe not better. It just, to me, solidified my feelings coming into the season. All year long, I've been saying, wait till the postseason, wait till they get fully healthy. Right now, with now three games to go in the regular season, Knicks going to be locked in pretty much that third spot. I know they need to win one more game or have the Pacers lose, but right now, they're as healthiest or as healthy as they have been all year long. They're at their healthiest at the perfect time, and I thought they played a terrific game. I don't think they played their A game against the Celtics, who are compromised now with the status of Jaylen Brown. And they came up just short. I felt, now look, you want to win the game, but I feel better about the Knicks' chances going into the postseason this year than I did a year ago.
Listen, I'm not into consolation prizes at this point for this team. Not after last year, not after the regular season this year. I do appreciate the effort. I mean, these guys play hard. I think they're a little less than what you need to be a champion. Now, that doesn't mean that something crazy can't happen over the next couple of months. That doesn't really happen too often in basketball. You'll get that occasionally in the NFL. You'll get that occasionally, certainly, in the NCAA tournament. Not this year with the ones, but you will get that in other sports. A hot goaltender, you ride him to the finals, whatever it might be. I just feel like if the Knicks were to play the Celtics and the Cavs, but the Celtics for now, 10 different times, not only would they lose probably seven, I think that they lose many different ways, which is what frightens me. It's not like they can only lose if Jason Tatum's amazing, or, which he was, or if Jaylen Brown and Tatum go for 60 combined. Brown didn't do much last night. They can win with Porzingis. They can win with a bunch of other snipers. They can win with depth and coaching and experience. And I know the Knicks will battle. I just don't think they're as good.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, they may not be as good if every team, if each team plays at their best, but they can beat the Celtics in a seven-game series.
Well, what are they waiting for? They can't even beat them in a one-game series.
Well, this is the first time that they played all healthy all year.
Yeah, I mean
but and they didn't even play their best
game. But the Celtics
game.
Weren't healthy.
Okay, but...
And they still won.
It is what it is.
Yeah, so Jaylen Brown's one of the top 10 players in the game.
They're also hitting...
Top 10, top 12.
They're also hitting miracle shots. Last year, going into the postseason, you yourself and others were more excited about the Knicks and the possibility that they could beat the Celtics.
Yes, I was.
This year, the Knicks are definitively better than they were a year ago. And yet, many people don't feel like they have a chance to beat the Celtics. Last night, to me, and I'm not one for, oh, the Knicks fought back. They didn't punch back. They lost to the Celtics yet again. What they did was show what they are capable of when fully healthy, meaning Mitchell Robinson back and now Jalen Brunson. This is the first time we're seeing this. They didn't even play their A game, and they still could have easily won that game last night if the ball bounces a different way. Porzingis was on fire. He's not going to have that happen throughout the course of a seven-game series. So I feel better, much better now than I did a year ago.
I feel the same. I don't feel the same. I felt better last year. I think you meant this season, because you know how I felt this season. So I think, if anything, I feel a little worse because of the things that the Knicks did well last night, and they still couldn't win. But I don't think that these Knicks are better. Like, why are they definitively better than last year's Knicks? Like, why do we make that statement and believe that that's true?
Because the
I know they have a couple
is,
of better players, but it doesn't mean they're a better team. Now, it depends what you're looking for. Is it total wins? Well, if that's the case, that is pretty close. Is it how you perform against the elite teams in the NBA? I don't have off the top of my head what the Knicks' record was a year ago, but I can promise you it wasn't 0-10.
Yeah.
I know they scratched out a couple of wins against some of the really elite teams, including the Celtics.
Right, but I'm not going based off of the regular season. Now, you it's in your right to value that if you want. I'm going based off of talent. Last year's Knicks team simply wasn't good enough. I thought they near maxed out, and if they were healthy, maybe they would have beaten the Pacers, and they would have got stomped by the Celtics. I do not think this Knicks team will get stomped by the Celtics. Now, again, they have to prove themselves. They have to get through the first round, let alone get to the Boston Celtics. I'm just giving you my opinion based on what I've seen. To answer why is because they have scoring all over the floor, where last year it was cross your fingers and see what happens. If Brunson doesn't score 35, they're toast. That's not the case. Also, this is not just a regular team. This is the team. You could look at the Thunder's record. You could look at the Cavs record. The Celtics are the champion. They are the team. We're measuring the Knicks up against the best.
Do you think that's unfair?
No, I think it's fair. But I'll take my chances with how they stack up against the best. Now, at worst, there are three teams better than the Knicks in the NBA, definitively. At worst, I'll take my chances. Whereas last year, there wasn't a guarantee that the Knicks were better than the Sixers last
year.
No, I agree with that. Pacers. Okay, so
I agree with that, too.
And then we could also differ on where you would rank the Knicks in regards to the whole NBA.
It's almost inconsequential at this point, because the teams that they're going to have to face to get to the conference finals or the NBA finals, I know that they're not better than two of them. They have yet to prove that. You know, and I will say, in terms of the Cavaliers, not just the Celtics, I will say this is pretty unique for me. Like, I look at all the other teams, and not just the ones that I root for. Like, my opinion on the Mets going into the season last year was what it was, and it wasn't very favorable. And then, obviously, I reacted to what I saw, and then I became much more of a believer in the Mets. And, you know, the ride that I've taken many of you on with the Jets. I mean, when they got Rodgers, there's been wild fluctuations. This is very unique in the sense, Yankees as well, where I don't think they're great coming into the season, and I kind of still feel that way. This is the one season where, from the opening tip, really, until now, encompassing 78, 79 games, 97% of the season, 98%, I haven't changed my tune at all.
Yeah, which is weird to me that, and not changing your tune, but the fact that you wouldn't acknowledge that they're better than they were a year ago. Because I do think you could say that, okay, well, they're not going to win the championship. Like, in my gut, I feel like that as well. I wouldn't bet that the Knicks are going to win the championship. But I feel like they have a much better chance this year, whereas last year, I didn't think that was a realistic possibility, especially after the injuries. I would have liked to take my chance with Randall healthy or whatever. We never got to see that fully healthy. But this year, in my gut, I feel 100% better about the team, especially the way things are coming together now, that they can win a championship. But the fact that you wouldn't acknowledge that they are better than last year, that's what I don't understand.
Well, again, it's all relative to what measurement you want to use to determine if they're better. That's why I said, like, the total wins means, yeah, right. That's not it.
That they could go further, maybe? Well, that they have more talent? I mean,
That's one measurement. Yeah. My measurement right now would be, and I do think they have a little more talent, but talent doesn't always equate to having the best gel, having the best team. You know that. I for me, a very good measurement is, how do you play against the best teams? Let's face it, 82-game season. I'm not saying the Knicks, and I do respect this. They generally play hard, and they generally, you know, they have a lot of minutes, and they don't take nights off, and Tom Thibodeau coaches them with integrity, so I love that. I respect that. But generally, there are 8, 9, 10 games you really need to pay attention to. Knicks haven't won one of those games this year. This I can't quantify, except to tell you what was in my heart. Like, last year, when they stepped on a court with a perceived elite team, I thought the Knicks would win. This year, when they step on the court with an elite team, I think they're going to lose. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be negative. It's just what I feel based on what I've seen. I know they've got more talent because I know that Karl Anthony Towns is more talented than Hartenstein. I get that. And Mitchell Robinson. But my belief in Karl Anthony Towns to be great for 2 months required to win a championship is not very high right now.
I think that changes. I think that Bridges is going to be the X factor, unfortunately, and I can't stand him because of just the slop. I'm serious, because last night I was torn a little bit because he did hit some big shots, sure, but overall, I don't think he's got it, or at least hasn't found it yet with this Knicks team, and that's going to be a problem. If he changes, because he's got the potential to change, and it's going to have to happen quickly, then I think that could elevate them to a legit championship level. But everybody else is going to be, you know, Brunson, you're going to get max performance from him. Towns, you're going to get max performance from him for the most part. I think you'll get better from Anunoby than what you saw last night against Boston.
Yeah, he just had a ride. That might not be a good matchup for him, but OG Anunoby has been on a ridiculous roll.
Well, but even if he hits one three, it's a different story.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, same thing with Josh Hart. I don't trust him to be a good shooter, but if he hits 1-3, it could potentially be a different story. I really do think that it's going to come down to Bridges and how he evolves here and fits in as being a high-impact player at times where either you're resting guys. I mean, Brunson, I felt like he was resting forever last night. They took him out with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, maybe a little over that.
Yep.
Didn't come back to like 7 minutes to go in the game.
That was a while. That was a while.
Come on. And yeah, the game was close, but maybe if Brunson is in there, maybe the Knicks could have pulled away a little bit. Or that was an issue. Now, I'm not saying you got to run him to the ground, but in the postseason, you are going to be playing a lot more minutes. So I'm not one for moral victories at all. I'm just looking at big picture. I believe in the talent of this team. They are at their healthiest right now at the perfect time. They're going to have a postseason series, the first round, to get them, you know, their feet under them a little bit.
It's going to be a dogfight.
Okay,
I'm just
but
telling
still,
you.
I mean, if they lose that, all bets are off, and then everything, it doesn't matter. I mean, then everything comes into question. But assuming that they play well in that, however many games it goes, I don't care. Just get the win and move on. Maybe that'll help this team gel in the postseason. And then from there, I'll take my chances against Boston.
I've got a quick question about somebody that we gloss over. Like, we tend to go deeper on Karl Anthony Towns because he's new, and Bridges because we don't love his body language sometimes, and the temperament and the 5 first-round picks. All right, Jalen Brunson. Now, I know he's amazing, and I love him, and we all love him. And there's no doubt he's a bona fide all-star, and he's a terrific, already great Nick. Has he been the same this year? And I don't even mean, I mean before the injury. Like, I wonder, because in my mind, he has not quite been. Now, there hasn't been a big drop, but I don't feel like he's quite the big-time clutch guy that he was in year one. And maybe that's me being desensitized by that greatness because I already saw it. And now this year, I expect it. And if there's a little diminishment, it kind of reshapes my opinion. Whereas last year, eyes were wide open, didn't really know what to expect here. And he comes in, and he's basically the best point guard since Clyde Frazier. Are you fully, do you fully believe that Brunson's exactly the same guy as last year?
I mean, I don't know about exactly the same guy. I don't put it this way. I don't think there's a drop off from Brunson. And I think we'll find out. You know, last year at times he hit big shots. Last year at times he missed big shots. So I think that he's asked to do less, a lot more this year.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Of the better supporting cast that he has than he did a year ago, especially after all the injuries last year. It was the Brunson show. He had to. If he didn't score 30-plus against the Sixers, they were going to lose that series.
Yeah.
So I'm not as worried about that, but I would like to see him come up more in the clutch. The problem is against the good teams with his size, those teams are going to make somebody else beat you.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not look at him. The knock on him would be, is he as good as the other teams, meaning the best teams in the league, their stars? And the answer would probably be no. I'd rather have my guy, our guy, Brunson, but is he as good as Tatum?
No. Okay. He's not as good as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Okay, so if he's not as good as their superstars,
it's
going to take a lot for the team to beat him, but I don't think it's because he's not as good as he was a year ago. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Pete is in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Guys, you know, I called to talk about Tibbs, but the last 5 minutes has really thrown me off. I mean, first of all, BT, last season, because of the NBA Cup, the Knicks played the Celtics 5 times and the Bucks 5 times. They lost 4 out of 5 to the Celtics last season. The one win was with 2 games to go. The Celtics had like a 15-game lead for first place and didn't play anybody. And they lost 3 out of 5 to the Milwaukee Bucks last year, who were top team.
Yeah, but hold on,
Pete.
Yeah, but hold on. This is important. My biggest issue is that the Knicks, outside of last night, have been destroyed. Punked. by those teams. Now, I'm not looking at the box score
last season. They got punked last year, too.
So you're telling me that they were losing by an average of 20 points. You might be right. I'm actually asking. I don't think so. I'll double check. They weren't even competitive.
Losing by 20, what's the difference? A loss is a loss.
No, the difference is if you're losing by 20 all the time, that tells me you can't even compete. That's the difference, Pete.
Losing 4 out of 5 means you're not competing.
No, I understand that. But Pete, there's varying degrees of being able to or levels of confidence here. If I'm losing some tight games, I could say, well, this, that, tweak, this, that, good whistle, good break. Maybe you win. They've been run out of the gym every time they played a good team this year, really, except last night. They have been waxed.
I mean, that first game against the Thunder, the Knicks were up by 5 at the start of the fourth quarter. They ended up losing by like 12.
Okay.
You know,
and they got destroyed.
And they weren't fully healthy.
They got destroyed. Listen,
and also on Brunson, you know, prior to the injury, you guys talk about Brunson not being clutch. I just pulled up the stats.
We didn't say that.
Yeah, you just said it.
No,
you
said
Jalen Brunson
clutch.
Doesn't feel as clutch this year as last year.
No, we said, as clutch. There's nuance here, dude.
He's leading the league in clutch stats.
What's it?
5.7 points per game. The next closest is 4.9. 1.9 field goals in the clutch.
All right, now, Pete.
1.4.
Pete.
44 made field goals in the clutch. 10 more than number 2.
Hold on, Pete. Now, hold on. I appreciate the numbers. I'm a numbers guy. I get that. So I'm not putting them aside. Understood. But do you feel like, and I know he's missed 15 games, do you feel like he's hit as many big shots this year as last year? My answer is no.
Yes.
I don't.
44 clutch buckets?
What did he have last year?
You're talking about more than, that's 50% of the games. More than 50% of the games. This guy has a clutch bucket.
Now, Pete, define a clutch bucket. Within 5 minutes to go in a game?
I think it's inside 3 minutes.
A couple of possessions either way. He's a terrific player.
Listen, Reggie Miller, who got a lot of stats wrong last night, pointed out that the Knicks have either the best or the second best record in the league in 3-point or fewer games. In the league.
Okay.
I mean, they did lose last night, though, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, Pete.
All right, so they're one game worse than Reggie gave that.
I'm with you, so let me ask the question I was asking Omar and BT and I have asked this. Do you think the Knicks are, A, better set for a postseason run this year, and B, can they win a championship in your mind?
I think they're heading into the playoffs healthy. They were not healthy in the playoffs last year, so automatically they're better positioned than they were last year.
And they might not go as far as they went last year, and they weren't even healthy last year. They lost in Game 7 in Round 2, and we're sitting here wondering if they're going to get out of Round 1.
Well, I mean,
not like terrified, but at least where...
They will not, put it this way. Now, again, you know, my prediction, our predictions, what does that mean? I would predict that the Knicks will not have as tough a time as they did with the Sixers in Round 1 a year ago.
I don't know who the hell is stopping Cade Cunningham. I know it's not Jalen Brunson. I know that.
It's also not Maxey and Embiid, and it's also a better Knicks team in my mind.
Yeah, I think Embiid was banged up, though.
I think people are starting to get, let's calm down a little bit here. I'm not trying to disrespect the Pistons here. It's not like I know everything about them.
I'm telling you, dude.
I'm not worried about the Pistons at all.
Okay, I'm a little worried.
Last year I was worried about the Sixers. I'm not worried about the Pistons. Because last year I thought it was a bad matchup where the Sixers weren't really a 7 seed.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of fell into that. They were a better team than that. I do not anticipate. Now, anything could happen. Assuming health, I do not anticipate the Pistons being a roadblock from the Knicks getting back to the semis.
I would say this. I think there's going to be a game where the Pistons run them out of the gym. Now, I don't think it's a sweep. I don't think the Knicks sweep them. I don't even think that the Knicks lose. It's going to be a dogfight. Pistons are good.
Like what? 7 games?
I think the Pistons are going to win twice. Like I think it's the kind of series where we're sitting here.
It still
saying,
could be a non-competitive 6-game series. I do not think Knicks fans will sweat this series at all.
I do. I've watched both the games of the Garden, and they just—it's not a good matchup, dude.
But the Knicks haven't been healthy in its regular season.
Right. I mean,
I'm looking forward. I cannot wait for the postseason here. It's going to be this is what we live for—the postseason stuff. Knicks for far too long haven't been relevant.
Yeah.
Let alone the postseason stuff. Last year was one of the most fun things that we've done together.
Awesome. It was a blast to be relevant again. I missed it, and I hate that. It sounds like I'm raiding on the parade here, and that's not my intention. But I've always got to tell you guys what I believe, and I've been watching the Knicks for 40 years, and I love this. I love everything about them, right? But I don't feel it, and I haven't felt it since week 1. Last night doesn't change anything. I love Brunson. He ain't Tatum. He ain't Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, he might be Donovan Mitchell. Like, I don't know that they have a better player than him. There's whether it's matchups, whether it's coaches, whether it's Bridges' heart, whether it's Karl Anthony Towns' ultimate ceiling when everybody's watching, I just don't feel it.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I gotta read you a quote, because to me, this really does illustrate what might be broken with the Knicks. Now, we all know P.J. Tucker is a champion, proud NBA warrior, been around a little bit, bounced around a little bit. He's with the Knicks now, and he played last night because the Knicks didn't play OG, and Josh Hart didn't play either. I didn't even care about the result. Yeah, it would have been nice to play well against the Pistons, the team they will likely play in round one, but they lost the game. Pistons played better in the second half, whatever. Now, but listen to this description of the team from somebody who basically just got there. That's where I think it's worrisome. Quote, this is Tucker. They just out-toughed us. They did. The whole fourth quarter, we kept it close, but they just out-toughed us. Now, there's some things we have to address. Obviously, not having OG and not having Hart. We'll get them back eventually, but I just feel like down in the trenches like that in the playoffs this year, they're not calling nothing. They're going to let a lot of stuff go right now, but I like it. The refs are letting a lot of stuff go both ways. With that happening, guys got to play differently. We got to play different. We got to toughen up. It's more physical. We got to toughen up. End quote. That is from an NBA champion and a man who has seen it all and knows what is required to win for 2 months. I like that he said that, that he's got the license from within, like the respect and the freedom. But man, oh man, that is an indictment on the toughness of the Knicks.
Or it's a challenge. I don't know if it's an indictment as much as it is maybe it's measured and trying to get this team prepared. The Knicks brought Tucker in. They know what he's all about. He's the guy you want on your team when you're going through a postseason run. They know the toughness. You don't think Tibbs understands the type of toughness that it takes to win in the postseason? He knows it, but the team was built a little more skilled, maybe a little more finesse, more talent, as we've said all year long. And maybe it was a measured shot from Tucker in a good opportunity year against the Pistons, a team they might be facing in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Knicks were resting guys, so it's not about the win-loss, like you said. But maybe it was a little put them on notice, hey, we got to be tougher. I love it. Now, we're going to find out if this team, we're going to find out what they're made of. We don't know what this version of the Knicks is made of yet. You could doubt them. I could believe in them. We got to see what they do in the postseason. I have reasons to doubt, just like you would. I also have reasons to believe, but we got to see them go out there and do it. I love that they have Tucker on this team, and I love that he said it ahead of the postseason and not reacting to, say, being down in a postseason series.
Just to be clear, I love it as well. Yeah. I mean, to me, now there's a chance to go out there and do something about it rather than you're down, you know, 2-3 games to 1 and you're on the brink of getting sent home. And he says, this is like, all right, maybe you should have dropped this a month or two ago. But here's the problem, though, or here's the question. How much can you change toughness? I don't think that you can. And there's a line in the Bronx Tale, I forget the exact, it's been a while, but basically says you can't fake street. Like, if you're not tough when you grew up and you weren't exposed to the streets when you grew up, you can't fake it halfway through adulthood because it's not in you inherently. So if PJ Tucker, who knows what is required to win and the tough team and, you know, those tough characteristics, whether it's an indictment or a challenge, and we could debate that, it's kind of semantics, but I hear you. That's almost secondary to me to whether or not the guys on the team that he's issuing the challenge to, can they actually crank it up to the point of getting where he wants them to get?
All right, well, I'll give you that. I don't think he would be saying this about last year's team. I don't think.
Me neither.
Okay, but who are the guys that you think he's saying it to? Because I don't
Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, but I don't look at this team and say that they're soft me by
neither.
Nature. I know some people say that. I don't think that they're a soft team. Do they have potentially some softer players? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But Josh Hart is as tough as they come. You know, Deuce McBride off the bench is tough. I think Brunson, while he's not a good defender, is still tough. You know, Anunoby is tough. I mean, we're talking about the majority of the players on this team. Karl Anthony Towns is tough offensively.
Meaning he ain't tough enough for me.
Offensively, even?
I mean, overall, he is not tough enough for me.
But how not offensively? He can back anybody down. He attacks the... When I think soft player offensive, I'm thinking somebody who's lazy, sitting
like not attacking the rim, and just kind of taking the easy way out.
He could do both. He could knock down a three and shoot.
I know he's skilled. There's no doubt.
Okay.
Take the Celtics game the other night. So, to me, it came out he had 20 points in the first half, and he finished with, I think, 24, whatever it was, right? He went to work that first half.
Yeah.
A running floater, a three, couple of, you know, really nice up and under foot. Like,
banging
he came
down
out.
Low. Yeah,
I understand that. I think that he's highly skilled. I think he's strong and, like, thick and physical to an extent. But I correlate toughness to fourth quarter, 3 minutes. I want to see what you did in the first quarter in the fourth quarter. And I don't think he's doing that on the road. Maybe against the Pistons. I don't think he's doing it against the Celtics. I don't think he's doing it against the Cavs. And again, I'm not calling him soft. I'm just calling him not tough enough. I mean, maybe I'm playing the semantics game. I don't think he's soft. I think, like, Charles Smith was a little soft for that team.
Right.
All right? Just the way that stylistically, he didn't quite fit in to how they played. Now, Carl Anthony Towns fits into how the Knicks play because I don't think he's got a lot of dogs around them. But do you think that he's going to get in somebody's grill, you know, after an N1, and say if somebody's talking smack to him, and I'm not even saying to fight. You don't want to see that. When you get suspended, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. But you know what? The best teams have those guys, and I don't think he's doing that. And Mikal Bridges might run under the hide behind the bench. I know for sure he ain't doing it. So I don't think they're tough enough.
I want more guys that are looking for the smoke as opposed to running from
it. So we're saying the same thing.
I get it, and it's one of the things that I was watching and analyzing about the Celtics game the other night where I'm thinking the Celtics play downhill and the Knicks are playing uphill, not in terms of basketball X's and O's, in terms of the Celtics expect to stick the knife in your chest and put you to sleep. Tatum expects to hit the game-tying dagger three, or Porzingis expects to light the Knicks up at the Garden. Jaylen Brown, when he's healthy, expects that. All the bench players. Yeah. And I feel like the Knicks are climbing to get to that level. I think Brunson has that stab you in the chest feel to him. I think others have that mentality. I don't know if they have the talent. Like Josh Hart has that mentality. I don't think he has the talent to match it.
Yeah.
OG's even a little quiet, although he's getting there. Bridges, a long way to go. And Carl Anthony Towns, I don't think has that. I think he's too nice. It's not soft.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's almost too nice where he's playing a game, he's playing at a high level, he can't get some tough buckets. I want a little more nastiness from Carl Anthony Towns.
You ever watch the or catch clips on the, I think it's called Up in Smoke with a couple NBA, former NBA, like Barnes is on there, Stephen Jackson. Or Want the Smoke or Up in Smoke, whatever it's called.
Something that's
playing up the word smoke there, right? And it's really interesting. And they go, like, they are raw. And they keep it real in their assessments of players. And to me, Draymond Green is cut from their cloth. Old school, rugged, tough, no nonsense, right? And I can't ignore this. Like, when Draymond Green said what he said about Carl Anthony Towns, when Carl was unfortunately dealing with something very sad, I thought he showed a complete lack of respect. And when he was at, he's like, you know, the podcast got to go on, the Barrett and Dre, however he said it. And then he doubled down on the disrespect to me. An NBA champion more than once over who's tough is not saying that about somebody he respects. Now, we might not, I actually liked Draymond. I didn't like that. I respect him. Now, not everybody likes Draymond, but what Draymond is thinking and what he says, I promise you, mirrors what a lot of NBA players think and might not say about Carl Anthony Towns, and that terrifies me.
We'll get back to the Soto conversation when we come back. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I've got news for you. I have two examples. Both teams I root for, by the way, Teak. I was in favor of both of them. Where two teams in the winter sports decided at the end of seasons, let's lose because we'd rather face this team in the first round. Now, in the case of the Knicks, it's not about a first round opponent. That is still to be determined between Milwaukee and Detroit. It's about your second round opponent. It's about looking ahead on the bracket. So I'm going to give you these two examples. Sean, you were affected by both of them.
Ooh.
What involved the Nets in 2014, the year after they lost to the Bulls in seven? The Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett Bowl on Nets with a five seed and were all lined up to play Chicago again. They lost their last two games of the season. They were resting guys to avoid Chicago rematch and get the Toronto Raptors, who they would go on and beat in seven and winning a seventh game in Toronto. Do you remember that one, Sean?
I remember somebody being at the seventh game in Toronto.
Yes, that was I. I was in the building for that one. But I remember the thinking on it, and I agree. Like, the Bulls were a tougher team. Tom Thibodeau Bulls, by the way. Mucho respect, though.
Right.
So the Nets clearly played with, the karma, if you will, avoided Chicago, played Toronto, and it worked. The other example also affects Sean because it involved both the Islanders and the Rangers.
Ooh.
In 2016, this is the year where the Islanders finally broke their streak where they won a first-round series.
Florida.
Look, it's you. They avoided the Penguins by losing their last two games. They took on the Panthers, not the current Panthers, obviously. Beat them, JT game winner, and got to the second round for the first time since 1993. The Rangers, unfortunately for them, ended up playing the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round that year. And I don't know if you remember, Sean. Do you know how that went?
It was a disaster. Was it a five-game series?
Look at you. Very good.
Yeah.
Rangers lost in five.
Yeah. Elimination, changing times, Farmingdale was an afternoon game.
So the Islanders played the same game, avoided the Penguins, got the Panthers, and it worked.
By losing, did they force the Rangers into the Penguins?
Yes!
Oh, that's even
and
more
boy,
brutal.
Did Islander fans flap their gums for a good couple days.
Yeah,
after
but
that.
That's just... I mean, It's just what? Go ahead.
Nothing.
What is
it? New York on New York crime, so I won't say it.
But my point is, like, with the Nets in 14, with the Islanders in 16,
cowardly.
Is it cowardly?
Yes.
I say it's smart.
I mean, of course it's smart because you end up getting to the second round. But, I mean, you force the cross-team rival into the tougher series.
Yeah,
dude.
Screw that.
It actually just happened this year in the NFL, too, if you remember.
Where did it happen?
Sean McVay and the Rams had a chance. All they had to do was win the final game of the season, and they were going to be the three seed in the NFC. And everybody wondered, what is Sean McVay doing? Why is he resting all his starters? You're going to be the three seed and go play the Commanders. He avoided the Commanders, who he viewed were a better team, and said, give me the Vikings.
Right.
And he beat the Vikings in round one.
Right.
And that kind of strategic tank, whatever you want to call it, is so much smarter and worthwhile than the draft pick tank. Because the draft pick tank is, it's a lottery.
Right, it's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot. Look at the scenario with the Giants. And, of course, we're focusing on it. We'll get even more focused over the next 2 weeks. We were talking about lose, so they can get Shador, and they can get Shador. They're in position to draft Shador. They may pass on.
That's right. Yeah, you don't know what it's going to be like when you get to this point of the year, the draft season for football. Because guys could have ridiculously horrible combines.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're telling yourself, we're not drafting that guy.
That's right.
And so we lost all these games, soured our fan base, probably had to fire a third of our players or move on from them, and we're not even going to get the guy that we thought we wanted to get?
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't know with the draft.
You don't. This is why I believe in every sport now. I've evolved into having this opinion based on these conversations, which are real and make a lot of sense. I think that you should get to pick your opponent. Like, it's actually, it sounds crazy off the surface, but it sets up so teams aren't losing on purpose to get the better matchup that they want. Even if it makes a lot of sense. Because listen, Knicks fans, this is better for you. You're better off losing. Now, I don't know how you sit there tonight watching them play the Cavs. Like, are you going to sit there and root for the Knicks to lose? Because Tommy, big Knicks fan, admitted it in the open. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. Quote, we are better off being the four seed. Well, that means you got to lose the next two games. So, let's go Cavs?
I got to see what Knicks team's on the floor, too. I mean, if P.J. Tucker's playing 30 minutes, that's a guy that's going to be warming the bench during the playoffs.
So who are you rooting for? That's not my question. Who's on the floor?
I'm watching the game.
How about Sunday afternoon in Brooklyn?
That's a
who
whole
other... Who are you rooting for?
I'm glad you brought that one up. I'm not sure what net players are going to be out there. So even if the Knicks try to lose that game, I'm not even sure if they could lose
no,
it.
No, I got you.
So I
got to
see what's going on with that.
Let me just smarten you up on that. The Nets are locked in on their tank position. So
they lost
it doesn't matter.
They lost by 35 last night to the Hawks, who stink.
No, I get that. Well, so do the Nets. They stink, too.
That's my point. So even if the Knicks try to lose on Sunday, they may still win.
Totally get it. My only counterpoint back was just so everybody knows, the Nets are locked in at six. They can't tank anymore. It doesn't make any difference.
What is Cleveland doing at this point? Are they playing their players? Where is their mindset
great
at?
Great question. Donovan Mitchell is out for tonight's game.
He's at the Met game in Sacramento.
He made the trip, yes. So we're going to keep an eye on this for you tonight, but you're right. Everybody's kind of playing the same gymnastics. Same thing with Indiana, because again, for the Knicks to drop to four, very simple. They have to lose their last two games, tonight against Cleveland, Sunday against the Nets, but the Pacers have to win their next two games, tonight against the Magic, and then Sunday against the Cavs.
Strategery.
And it's a smart one, might I say.
Yeah, I mean, look, if it works and they win the first round, they have an advantage, not an advantage, but at least they've perceptual advantage against Cleveland over Boston, and then you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, something they haven't done, then we're all good.
And that's why I brought up the 16 Islanders and the 14 Nets, because in both cases, now those were for first-round opponents, they worked. I remember at the time, this is unethical, this is wrong, Ranger fans were upset about what the Islanders did. It worked. Now, you could say what you want about it. It worked. Let's get to your calls. Vin is calling from Tom's River. How are you, Vin?
Hey, I'm well. Thank you.
Thank you
for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, man.
I just got a couple of questions. One, have the Knicks played a full season together as a full unit at all?
No.
That's the first question.
Okay.
Right? And second, I'm not saying that they're going to be, you know, the Celtics, but, I mean, how could you think about firing Tibbs? They haven't played a full, like, Mitch Robinson didn't play five games this season.
I don't think anyone.
Maybe I'm exaggerating.
Okay,
maybe
but
played six?
To,
I don't know.
To your point.
Close.
To your point, they have not had a full season.
Right, and it took some time at the beginning of the season, remember, to get them playing Tibbs' style.
Yeah.
Look, not everybody was used to it.
Well, they added two new players.
Right.
I think any discussion around the job security of Tom Thibodeau is predicated on them having some kind of first-round disaster. Mm. And I think the other reason why there's been discussion around the job status of Tom Thibodeau, and this is not fair to him, but this is the reality, I think it's looking around the league. I think when Michael Malone gets fired, and granted, he got fired because of the disarray between him and the general manager in Denver, and you look at what happened in Memphis with Taylor Jenkins, I think it opens up the discussion of, wow, well, if Michael Malone could be fired, if Jenkins can be fired, then so can Tom Thibodeau. But I think most of us sanely would agree that as long as the Knicks are advancing out of the first round, Tom Thibodeau will be safe for the rest of this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, I know that some people are talking about the hot seat with Tom Thibodeau, but I don't think it's as relevant as it was 2 years ago. They're consistently in the postseason. They're the 3 seed right now in the Eastern Conference. We talk about this often when we talk about the players that they bring in. Everybody gets better, right? He's a good coach. We know this. Now, ultimately, it comes down to the bottom line. And I think Tom Thibodeau's biggest issue when it comes back, you know, sometime down the line with his legacy, is what did you do when it mattered?
Yeah.
Not, hey, you made this guy really good. You made Derrick Rose an all-star. You made Jalen Brunson XYZ, and Cat comes here and nobody thinks he's soft anymore, yada, yada, yada. But what did you win, right? How far did you go? And if that doesn't get answered in a positive way, people are going to say, just kind of felt like a wasted, really good, but never great era.
Lewis in New Brunswick. How are you, Lewis?
Yes, I'm great. Thank you. Evan, TJ, I love the show. It's great.
Thank you, man.
I'm a long-time Knicks fan, over 50 years. I don't want to age myself, but, you know.
You already did.
I liked him a long time, and I'm happy they're relevant now. And frankly, I like Tibbs. I don't think there's any basis to even think about firing Tibbs at this point, although some of his moves at times are suspect.
Sure.
But I got a question about last night's game.
Yeah.
Landry Shamet was on fire, all right? And he's a fine shooter. He's on fire. Tibbs pulls him and puts in Bridges, who commits like 3 turnovers. Now, I know Bridges' value, but it just didn't seem to be the right time to pull him. Now, was that done because Tibbs didn't care about winning the game, and he was purposely looking for a playoff posture, or was that just a reflexive substitution to put a starter in?
That is a reflection of substitutions to put a starter in. Like, there are things he did last night, like limiting Jalen Brunson's minutes, like limiting Karl Anthony Towns' minutes, like having a moment where DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet and like basically an all-bench unit where you can look at and say that's a combination of rest slash tank, but benching Landry Shamet for Mikal Bridges, that's just real. You're going to see that in a week when they're playing Detroit or Milwaukee. But last night, when the Celtics defeated the New York Knicks, and some Knicks fans looked at it as a moral victory, I was curious what the Celtics would say, considering they've had this incredible regular season. They are the two seed in the Eastern Conference, locked up into that. What would the players say about sweeping the New York Knicks? Because I think this rivalry is more one-sided, like we in New York want to beat the Celtics. I don't think anybody in Boston cares about the Knicks, unfortunately. That may change in a few weeks, but as of right now, I don't know how much they care. So first, let's hear from Derek White. Derek White, you beat the Knicks every single time. How's that work for you?
Knowing that if you swept the Knicks in this season series, you could face them in the second round. Does that give you confidence going in?
It means absolutely nothing.
It means absolutely nothing, okay? Jason Tatum, who put on quite a show last night. Jason, beat the Knicks four times. What does it mean to you?
Not at all. My playoffs is a different animal. You know, regardless of whatever happened in the regular season, it goes out the window when the playoffs start.
Completely agree. Out the window means nothing. How about Joe Mazzulla, who always gives you interesting quotes after games? Joe, you beat the Knicks four times. What does that mean for you?
It means nothing. If anything, it's more dangerous for us thinking, one, that like, we're going to get to the second round. We may not get there.
I love that guy. He's so, like, out the left field with his remarks.
He is.
He's going to say anything that, other than what you expect him to
of
say.
Of course he is. He's like, listen, the Magic could upset us. What the hell do we know?
We might not make it. What? What the hell?
Sports is a funny thing. You never know, but there's nothing in the NBA playoffs. Literally. If you ask me anything that could happen in the first round, what would surprise you the most?
The Celtics losing to
Losing to the Magic or the Hawks in the first round would surprise me the most. It would surprise me more than even Oklahoma City getting picked off. You name the thing. Cleveland, doesn't matter. The Celtics getting knocked off. Because they are, it doesn't matter what their record is. They're 59-20, so they're very likely to have another 60-win season. Despite the Cavs having a better record, despite the Thunder having a better record, I think we all agree they are clearly the team to beat.
Well, especially if Kristaps Porzingis is going to play like he played last night.
And hit logo threes?
Yeah, I mean, that notwithstanding, he still had, what, 30, whatever, 33? 30,
eight 30, threes, 34, 35.
Whatever it is. He missed a lot of the season, and they were still just kind of cruising. Now, if he's healthy and is Kristaps from healthy the season a year ago when they won a championship, who's beating them? I mean, it's
tough to imagine anyone's going to beat them. I will make you this prediction before we get to your calls. I do believe the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics will meet in the second round of the postseason. That seems like it's likely, barring any upsets. I believe when we get there, and I'm not sure if it's going to be to Boston or the Knicks, there will be a major injury that's going to change the landscape of that series. So what we say today on April 9th, I think is thrown out the window in 3 weeks because somebody, maybe it's Jaylen Brown not playing. Maybe it's Kristaps Porzingis who's often injured. Maybe it's something with the Knicks, right? I don't know. But I do feel when we're sitting here breaking down Knicks-Celtics second round, I think the look of this series is going to be completely different. So we'll see if I'm right. And we'll see if Lugie's right, because he just predicted Boston Celtics in six. That was his prediction few minutes ago.
I was damned if I do, damned if I don't in that spot.
No, you weren't. You
I was.
It's a prediction.
No,
if you had to give your homer pick, what would you say?
The Knicks are going to sweep him. So he'd hold that over my head.
You know, that's not real. The only homer pick that makes sense is Knicks grit in seven. They get it in seven.
What I don't understand about
they figure it out.
What I don't understand is when we make predictions, like whenever we do a Met prediction, you're always over-the-top positive. You're positive Tommy.
Positive Tommy
like
leads the Mets, yes.
Predicted them to win 120 games. I mean, despite their great pace right now, that's likely not going to happen. You predicted Sean Manaea to come back like in 5 days, even though that's not going to happen. Yet with the Knicks, you need to be realistic.
Because,
maybe you need to bring the positive card
to
the
you're Mets. No, you're out to get me with the Knicks. You're
I'm
on my side with the
you.
Mets. You're not trying to twist me into a pretzel and catch me in a prediction that's not going to go accurately. You want positive Tommy to be right
I'm just
in the Knicks thing, because I already had him in the Eastern Conference Finals a week ago.
You want positive Tommy
I gave,
on that mic. You need positive Tommy on that mic.
Exactly.
I just want you to be honest. That's all I am.
No, but I gave my prediction about a month ago, and you said, okay. You wrote it down.
I wrote it down.
So then what the heck are you asking me again for?
Because the beautiful part about predictions, and this is why I write it down and we save them, is to watch the evolution. Do you remember at the beginning of the football season, we did the same thing? Like, as the preseason began, I said, Teague, Sean, Lugie, your Giant picks. And you all had numbers. We got to the, right as the season was starting, we were sitting at MetLife Stadium. I said, okay, now we're here. What's your prediction? And you saw an evolution. Sometimes that happens. I find that fascinating. We all evolve. I evolved too.
All right, fine. I evolved in the last 6 minutes. The Knicks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Write that one down.
We'll see if that ages as well as Sean saying the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup.
I need this Tommy as Jack Nicklaus and a few good men.
You're damn right I Austin Sweet. You're damn right. You need me. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Sharif is in Staten Island. How you doing today, Sharif?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
It's three things. One, OG.
Yeah.
Why are you getting faked out by the dribble? If he's going to go to the basket, let him go to the basket.
Yep.
You should be on top of him. You shouldn't be leaning to the left. You should be on top of him. Two, they should be double-teaming him. Three, when you were talking to the guys, we were just talking about the coach. I want to see what he does in the next three games and see what kind of limitation he does to the players so they'll be fresh for the playoffs if he does the same dumb things. And four, I said three, but four. He's the definition of a fan, which is a fanatic. He does the same thing over and over for years and years, and people keep hiring him. He keeps on burning these guys out, and that's what's going to be the downfall for the Knicks again. Somebody's OG's going to pull a hamstring.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen, but, and all because of the coach.
But Sharif, the problem is he's a good coach. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He makes players better, and you've seen this almost every year. From guys that are there before he got there or guys that he brought in, he makes players better than before he was the coach. Now, he wears on them and he grinds on them. It's very old school, and I think that's the frustrating part because they don't seem to last.
Mm.
And so if there was one adjustment that he should make, it's just figure out how to get your guys some rest.
So the rest question, because the New York Knicks do have three games left, and I'm curious where you would stand on what to do in these three games. Tomorrow night, they have what is, I think, likely to be a first-round preview against the Detroit Pistons. Mm-hmm. It is very likely that the Knicks are going to face the Pistons. Just so you know, a little background, for the Knicks not to be the three seed, they would have to lose their final three, and Indiana would have to win their final three. And for the Pistons to not be the six, they would have to sweep a two-game series they're about to have against the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's very unlikely that we are seeing the New York Knicks against the Pistons. They play on Thursday. Tommy, are you okay with saying this game does not matter and I'm going to rest my guys, or are you looking to build on something going into the postseason?
No, not in situations like that. The only games that I cared about here as far as building to the playoffs was Cavs, Celtics, the elite team.
Well, that's perfect. The next night, at Madison Square Garden, the Knicks play the Cleveland Cavaliers. Second to last game of the year. I think they call that the penultimate game of the season. Are you going to have to play your guys big minutes because you need to prove something?
Yes, 100%. Okay. All hands on deck.
And then we'd all agree Sunday against the Nets. Who gives a crap?
Yeah, glorified preseason.
Yes, I'll be there, but I mean, what does it mean? The one thing I hesitate on about rest and how important it is, because of this new world we live in with the NBA in-season tournament, not in-season tournament, the play-in tournament.
Right.
I get their tournaments confused. The Knicks will not play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. The soonest their first playoff game would be Saturday, and it could be Sunday. So the guys are going to get plenty of rest
leading
going
into
the playoffs.
Well, I think the issue is not rest getting into the playoffs. It's getting through the regular season healthy. And so far, it's at least with three games remaining, it seems like they're going to be okay and healthy.
Yeah, but nothing better happen in these three games,
that's
by the
what
way.
I mean. Like,
if it does, then Tom Thibodeau is going to really hear
assume
it.
Assume that Indiana can't catch you and don't play anybody.
Jack is calling from Lakewood. How are you, Jack?
How you doing? First time caller, long time listener. What Tiki was saying before about Tom Thibodeau, he makes better players, but he doesn't make better plays.
Mm. Yes. No, you're right about that.
He makes players better, but he doesn't make players.
But Jack, here's what I think happens is that Tom trusts his players to do the right thing in all moments.
Mm.
And so you don't see him necessarily coaching like you see him other coaches. Like,
right.
This is what we need to do. You see him out on the court, demonstrative. He just stands there with his arms folded and just kind of staring at what's going on. Every now and then he'll get emotive, but I think he trusts his veterans. He trusts his leader, in this case, Jalen Brunson, primarily, to make the right situations right for their team. And the problem is, sometimes you just got to be reminded, right? Sometimes you just got to be coached a
little
bit.
So in the case of OG Anunoby, he should have been reminded.
Just, hey, just don't foul here.
Yeah, or should foul here.
Or should foul.
And you got to be smart to make sure you're not doing it as Tatum's getting a three up. Look, two egregious things happened in the final minute of the game.
Yes.
Karl-Anthony Towns committed that foul versus Jason Tatum, which gave him three free throws, and then not fouling him up three, which has been something we've seen affect the Knicks before.
You know, the fact of the matter is, this team has been, aside from an outlying year here or there, and I don't think I'm being extreme by saying this, they've been awful for the better part of 20 years as an organization. And then you bring in Tibbs, he brings in this certain style. To me, I mean, at some point, I know it's easier to fire the coach, I get that, but at some point, when do we blame the players?
Well,
like, when do we not, how come Mikal Bridges taking his eye off the ball the other day, you know, and having the ball go through off his shoulder and out of bounds, that's Tibbs' fault.
Well, I think I have a good answer for that. Not the specific Mikal Bridges thing. I don't think that's Tibbs' fault. I do think that, you know, some of these out-of-bounds plays that they have that look like a disaster are Tibbs' fault, for sure. But I think the answer of when you blame the coach, so they did blame the players. I mean, they ended up changing this roster significantly. They got rid of the guys that they drafted in R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. They got rid of the guy that ended up putting them over the top in the beginning to get back to the playoffs in Julius Randle. I mean, all of those moves that they made, you know, Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, now you're building around that. And these are your guys, and OG Anunoby as well with his contract. These are your guys. And if it's not working, which it really hasn't to the point that we expected at this point.
But why? See, to me, that's the big question. And to me, the answer is, because one of your biggest players doesn't defend. This is not, when you look at this Knicks team, remember when they were putting up, they had that stretch where they were putting up consistently 125 plus points a night. And a lot of us around here were saying, well, it's a different way to play. They're going to outscore teams. They're not the same defensively. Personnel is different. Even though Bridges was brought in to be a defensive player, hasn't been great. You know, it's hard to outscore teams every night. And when it doesn't work, you can make the case they changed the team against the way Tibbs coaches.
They did. No, I mean, that's a fact.
Right. So now I'm going to blame the coach for not coaching the way he coaches well with the new set of players he was given. And, oh, by the way, they still won 50 games. They're still going to be a 3 seed, but they're still not better than the two teams ahead of them.
All right, so I'll ask you this. Could you move on from Tibbs and not necessarily blame him for the issues and say, hey, we built a team that I don't think you can coach?
I think that if you are going to move away from the coach, that's the only way you can do it. Because I don't think you can fire the coach and say it's just not working with them. I almost think you got to fire the coach and put some responsibility, like Leon Rose needs to take responsibility.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt, yeah.
Creating a puzzle that doesn't quite fit because of the coach's style to the players he has since brought in.
Yeah, but I also think that Tibbs is a huge part of that front office and acquisitions at that point, because there's no way that Leon Rose is bringing in Karl-Anthony Towns or making that trade for OG Anunoby without consulting Tom Thibodeau and saying, hey, what can you do with this? How is this going to work? Are we going to take a step back defensively if we make this trade? And he's got to sign off on it. I'd be shocked if he was in the dark about it. But, I mean, Tibbs has done an amazing job. Where they came from to where they are now is spectacular. But you didn't do all of that to be the second or third best team in the conference. You did it because you wanted to get that elusive championship that we haven't seen, or I've never seen even in my lifetime. So if this is the group of players that they either believe in or they can't get away from, and they also need to get deeper, by the way. That's another problem.
Agreed.
They were deeper last year. But if this is the group that you either can't change or you believe can win, then there's only one other thing that you can do.
And you're going to change the coach.
Yeah.
Now, that having been said, take a step back. The season's not over. We haven't even begun the playoffs. Yeah. And the idea, and I do feel like I'm almost on an island here when I listen to Knick fans who don't believe that they can really win anything this year because Boston is Boston and Cleveland has had this amazing run. And even if you get through that, Oklahoma City's been out, been incredible. I actually do believe this team has a chance to compete with Boston in the postseason. Why? I don't know. I know they got swept this year. The other night was the most complete they've been as a roster. They didn't win. Not good enough. No excuses. You got to be better, especially at home. I'd feel better if they lost that game in Boston, you know, in overtime as opposed to at home. That said, things change in the postseason. And what I am looking for is what a lot of people have said is, well, the regular season, not the same. They're going to defend in the postseason. If, in fact, this team can flip a switch and resemble anything defensively like they were last year for much of the year until they got all banged up in the postseason, I give them a hell of a chance to beat anybody standing in their way in the postseason before we write Tibbs' obituary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to lose in the first round. And I'm with you with the playoff stuff. We had the conversation a couple of weeks ago where I said I'm not ready to say that this team can't beat the Celtics. But the more I think about it,
it's difficult. They're good. Boston is a champion for a reason.
There's just too many things about them that are better than the Knicks, and it would just be a monumental task to beat them in a 7-game series. And then you have this very hard evaluation process where, like, all right, you end up facing the Celtics in the second round because the Cavaliers have the season that they're having.
Yep.
And let's say they do lose that series. You lost now to the defending champs who had a better regular season than you. Like, how horrible of a loss really is that? You know, then you have to think about that.
Right, you're not going to be favored, and probably you'll be underdogs in Boston. You might even be underdogs in New York. I don't know. You're right.
So then you have to figure, okay, you know, how far away are we?
Not far at all.
Well, if you get swept, I think so. So this goes back to, like, I'll make a couple comparisons. Like, this goes back to where Brian Cashman and the Yankee fan base had a totally different take a couple years ago when they got swept by the Astros in the ALCS, where Brian Cashman and the Yankees brass were saying, we made it to the ALCS. You thought that we would have, you know, we finished the season under 500. Okay, but you got to the ALCS, faced your biggest nemesis, and didn't even have a shot.
Weren't close.
Yeah, so that's that. I mean, so the result of the series certainly will be a big conversation. If you get swept or you lose in five or it doesn't even look like you can compete, then you're really, really far away and massive changes would have to happen.
Understood. And I think that's where you have to let the whole thing play itself out, because when you look at the two teams, the three-point shooting is what Boston does well. You know what? I look at the Knicks, too, and as them being whole for the first time, and you hope for good health through the playoffs as opposed to the mess we saw last year, you know, why can't Karl Anthony Towns go toe-to-toe with Kristaps Porzingis from the outside? Why can't Miles McBride light it up from the outside, which we've seen numerous times? Why can't OG Anunoby continue on this offensive trend? Why can't Josh Hart be the complete player he's been? Why can't Jalen Brunson be the player that was putting up 40 a game last year on the like, to me, I just don't think we've seen the Knicks as a complete product through the first 75, 78 games of the season until now. I know they lost the other night. I get it. But Brunson just coming back, I really do believe I will be stunned if they, and I'm assuming they win the first round. I mean, I probably shouldn't assume that, but let's just assume they get through the first round. Boston gets through the first round. All is good. Here we go. New York, Boston. I will be stunned if they are 4 or 5 games and out. I really would be. I'm not saying they're winning the series, but I 100% expect it to be a 6 or 7 game grueling type of series where there is knockout shot after knockout shot, and it is just one of these that was pretty good last night.
Yeah, I hope so, and that would be amazing. Really, you know, when you say why not, and you talk about these guys being their best, the biggest question is Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, there's so many guys like him in the NBA that have been in the NBA. I mean, there's just that profile of a player who is so good. And when you see them at their best, you're just completely mesmerized about how talented they are. But then when they run into the better team in the postseason or the better player or the big moment, they just don't have that extra 10% to get over that hump. And it doesn't mean that they're not a great player. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have made the trade. But there's just something about them that
doesn't get that extra 10% to squeeze out of him to make him a champion. And that's the knock on Karl Anthony Towns. So when you say, you know, why can't he?
Right.
I mean, maybe it's just because he's not built that way.
Maybe. But you know who does give you the extra 10, 15%?
Jalen Brunson. Yeah.
Jalen Brunson last year on basically one leg and battered and bruised was putting up numbers that were ridiculous. You could make the case until they were knocked out of the playoffs. He was the best player in the postseason in the NBA until they were knocked out. That's what they have going for them. He had four or five weeks off, you know, rehabbing the injury, wear and tear off the body. If there is anybody that is going to be 100% or 115% of himself come postseason in a couple of weeks, the Knicks have that guy.
Yeah, I mean, but
and I'm not trying to talk you into anything. Trust me, I've heard enough Knicks fans that think the season's over already because they're going to face Boston. I really think they've got a chance.
I'm more with you than the it's not going to happen at all. I really do think that I agree that they have a chance. I think it's a 6 or 7 game series that they're going to lose, and we'll look back and say, man, like, God, they're so close, This damn,
but
team.
Not there.
Yeah,
if in fact that's the case, again, you know, we talk about inbounds plays, and I totally understand your point with, you know, guys. Did you see the inbounds play? Is LeBron James not arguably the greatest player you've ever seen?
Yeah, he's top three.
Okay,
yeah.
So did you see the inbounds play that the Lakers and J.J. Redick drew up 2 weeks ago where LeBron just gave them? Remember they lost that 7-point lead in 15 seconds?
Yep.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
That's LeBron James making a bad pass with a bad play drawn up out of bounds. It happens nightly. I know we see it every day, so it's obviously highlighted and amplified. I get it. But I'm telling you, and it's kind of like we talk about, you know, how can a team this good not be able to score for 15 minutes? We talked about Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle getting outscored in the fourth quarter by 30 points the other night. This stuff happens, and I would not fire the coach because of a couple of bad inbounds plays.
All right, so I'll give you comparisons, this team as opposed to previous Knicks teams, and you tell me how far away this team is as compared to the other one. All right. 90s Knicks going up against Jordan and the Bulls. How much closer are the Knicks this year to the Boston Celtics compared to those Knicks teams and Jordan?
That is a great question, because I really thought those Knicks teams were going to win a championship for sure. They didn't, but it was Jordan. Boy.
Is this team more likely to get past the Celtics than the Knicks were to the Bulls then?
I'm going to say yes. The problem with the answer is I know what happened in the past.
Yeah.
It's hard to look at that objectively without the results, and I've got the results of those 90s Knicks.
Yeah.
And they didn't win when Jordan was out. They sure as hell didn't win when Jordan was back. So I have to say the Celtics, and partly because this is the first time I'm seeing it, everybody healthy.
Yeah. Now.
So now.
The next one I'll give you I think will be easier.
Okay.
The Carmelo Stoudemire teams against the LeBron, Dwayne Wade.
Mm-mm. I thought they were good. I did. I thought they were good. I didn't think they had a puncher's chance in hell.
I agree.
I thought you were going to give me the 99 Knicks and Allen Houston and Miami and the runner. And then
No. Because that was different. That was a little bit of an outlier.
That was what, the 50-game season, right?
Yeah. Right. It was the lockout shortened season. And also, you know, they were coming out of that great era. So they still had some of the DNA of that team. And then they went on that run and Sprewell and everything. So no. Because that team also, you know, they ended up going to the finals and then losing to the Spurs, who were so good at that point. Want to talk some Knicks, Mets, Yanks, whatever you want, 888-808-1019.
The one thing I was going to say about the Knicks, and it just popped into my mind. So when Jalen Brunson was out, who was the man and who was putting up huge numbers?
OG Anunoby.
That's right. So Brunson's back now. And OG was talking about how he should win Defensive Player of the Year. Like last week.
Yeah.
So now they're playing against Jason Tatum, who he's got to play. That takes a lot of energy to do that.
Yeah.
And what does it affect?
Well, your offense, and it wasn't good last night for him. Yeah.
So it's painfully obvious that the strenuous, I guess you would say, strenuous output on defense is affecting him on offense. especially in this game against that player.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that that's every game, but in projecting to the future and that series and a seven-game series, yeah, that's something to be concerned about because he serves a different purpose on the team when Jalen Brunson is in the lineup.
I mean, he was 0 for 5 from 3 points. He was 3 for 6 from three for free throw line and 5 of 13 overall. That's a guy that's exhausted because he's playing so hard on defense.
Yeah, and then the one shot at the end of the game that he had to really make an impact on defense, it didn't happen. But he's been absolutely great for them.
He has, but what I'm saying is that
I hear you.
Jason Tatum had 32 points.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he's a superstar. I mean, and you're not going to be able to clamp him down.
But when you think about individual players, what they're dealing with, what they're doing, what they're supposed to be doing, there is no question in my mind, anyway, last night watching this, that he was really just expending so much energy on defense and really trying hard. And I appreciate that. I really do appreciate it. That's impossible to stop that guy.
Yeah. I mean, they say defense is all effort. Mostly effort, not all effort.
But there's no way in the world that it didn't affect his offense.
Let's go to Brian in Northport. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
What's happening, Brian?
So last night, Gio, like you were saying, for me, it was an encouraging loss. And the last time I felt that way was 2007 when the Giants lost to the Patriots, 38-35, I think.
Yeah.
And it sets you up like, okay, we actually might be able to do this. And that's how I felt last night, but not quite as much. And also, I told Al, you guys got to listen yesterday, Susan Waldman at 2:45 exactly, find it. She talks about missing her dingle and starts laughing about this catcher. It's good.
Okay. Susan's doing dingleberry jokes on the broadcast now?
I guess so.
That's what's going on?
I guess so.
Wow. That's what Brian says. I know Brian calls us all the time, yes. So I tend to trust him. So we will go in and look for that. Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that comparison. It's a little bit different, though, when you play a team once in the NFL as opposed to now you have an entire season's worth of matchups with the Boston Celtics where you didn't win one of them. At least the last one was a lot better than the previous ones. It's going to be a tall, tall task. I mean, they're a deeper team. They're a better defensive team. And they shoot threes better.
You know, and they do have, I mean, they have a legit superstar. Well, I mean, I have Carl Anthony Towns could be too. I mean,
right, Jalen Brunson is. I'm sorry, he is.
I would say that Carl Anthony Towns for the first half, first quarter especially, was unstoppable.
Yeah, this is where the Carl Anthony Towns conversation shifts, is what happens in the playoffs, just like every other sport. You know, whether you're talking about Aaron Judge, whether you're talking about your guy Artemi Panarin, whether you're talking about Pete Alonso or whoever. You know, Karl Anthony Towns, really good regular season. This is his first year here. He's got to go off in the playoffs. And if he doesn't, and if he does not look like the superstar that Jason Tatum, albeit a different position and different type of player, you know, and he goes quiet in some of these games and you look up, but he's got, you know, 13 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, it is going to be a bloodbath, and the fans will turn on him like you wouldn't believe because, you know, he's had that moniker of being a little bit of a softer player and not having the edge that you want. I haven't necessarily seen that throughout the regular season, but he is here to put the Knicks over the top and to win a championship. And when those playoffs start, you better throw some 40-point games in there and be the dominant player that he needs to be. He's got to be a top 10 NBA player for this team if they're going to win a championship. He can't just be very good. Can't be. So that's going to be a big, big talking point in the playoffs. And I'm hoping, and he's capable of it. I know he's capable of it. But if he's a B+, they ain't winning anything. I'm sorry. B+.
You know, really, it is amazing that, you know, we've had good teams here. Okay, we've had good teams, but the Islanders had a good team going to the conference finals 2 years in a row. And they just don't have the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you'd think that, okay, we got the goalies, but we just don't have the guy. Same thing with the Rangers. Rangers have been good. We just don't have that guy, that difference-making Kucherov, McDavid, Barkov, You know, Sam Bennett. We just don't have that guy. And then, of course, their goaltenders, you know, Bobrovsky in this case, has shut them down. I mean, and it's kind of like where the Knicks are right now. They got a really good team, a really likable team, a really good bunch of guys that you can get behind. But do they have enough to go against any one of these three top teams and two of them being in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, so they have the guy in Jalen Brunson being the leader and everything starting with him. You know, and but every guy like that needs another superstar in the NBA to make it happen. And that's why, you know, Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown have worked well together. So Karl Anthony Towns has to be that. I mean, the Knicks, as I said, they waited around. They waited and waited and waited and waited. They didn't rush. They didn't jump into something early because there was pressure. But they pulled the trigger with Mikal Bridges and then Karl Anthony Towns. And these are the guys that have to do it now.
OG is making superstar money.
Right, but OG, but also, yes, and they kept him and they made that trade, 100%. But I can't see a world where, even though last night was last night, where OG Anunoby is the guy holding this team back, where Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns were the guys that were brought in this offseason to make the team that they had last year even better.
I don't think OG's holding the team back. I don't. I just think in a game like last night, and again, we've been saying it all year long, against the really, really top-tier teams, which there are about three of them, maybe four, the Knicks don't shoot. Their best players don't shoot well. So, in other words, OG and Mikal Bridges didn't shoot well last night. But they are required to play a heavy dose of defense on the other end of the court because of the superstars that they're trying to defend. And those guys, you know, put up huge numbers. And it's just so much of an output on defense that it does affect their offense adversely. And that's why, you're right, Karl Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson have got to put up numbers. They have to put up numbers. They're the ones that are going to have to score, because I just don't know if OG can play as hard as he does on defense against Jason Tatum and then come back down the court and also try to match him bucket for bucket. It ain't happening.
No. No, absolutely not. And also, you know, Mikal Bridges is another one. I mean, similar to OG, where they're going to have to count on him to play some good defense and also score. But it's just the guys that they brought in those two, Towns and Bridges, have been good. If they're going to beat the Celtics, they got to be better than good. I mean, they have to be complete difference makers. They got to be championship caliber players, and they haven't shown that. This year, they've shown that they could be a 50-win team and smack around some of the worst teams in the NBA. Jalen Brunson's a guy I feel like is one of those guys who can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the league. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about Josh Hart. Josh Hart, you put him on any team, he's a championship-type player. I believe that OG has proven that he is a championship-type player and also was on a Raptors team that won a championship, so I'm not worried about that. It's Towns and Bridges.
So basically it comes down to Towns versus Porzingis. It comes down to OG versus Tatum, right?
Yeah.
Those two guys, in terms of the numbers that they end up scoring, is always going to fall in the favor. I believe it's always going to fall in the favor of the Celtics.
Well, they're a better team. It's no doubt about it.
Those two players.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
But I think Towns can match Porzingis.
Yes. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, if you're ranking players in the NBA, is better than Kristaps Porzingis. But what Kristaps Porzingis is on that team,
it fits better.
Is an assassin. You know, I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough trying to build and find the right chemistry and the right mix. And the Celtics have proven that. They've done that. They won a championship and they came back and they're this good again. So it's going to be a tall order, but I still think they're going to have a chance. They're going to be a massive underdog if they both get out of the first round, which I believe that they will. They'll be a massive underdog. But yesterday proved that they're not completely overmatched, which was a question, you know, going into that game. Are they completely overmatched? Because they had been up until this point. Let's go to Matt in Middletown. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Boomer Gio, how you guys doing?
All right, Matt, what's happening, brother?
Nothing much. So, Gio, I agree with you with that one caller that said this was like that Patriots-Giants game. I mean, you know, I watched these Knicks-Boston games all season. It was terrible. But what I'm most disappointed about last night was that, you know, last-second shot by Mikal Bridges, you know, instead of putting a shot off, he has the yips, and it goes out of bounds. I mean, you know, we brought the guy in for moments like this.
Yeah, I mean, but also remember, he had that jump shot. He was wide open, but still, he made it to go up three before the Tatum possession. But yeah, I mean, that was a mess in the corner there. As CBS Sports Network is playing it now, and he's not looking at the ball. He's looking ahead. He's trying to survey the court. Am I going to shoot? Am I going to get rid of the ball? Yeah, and that was bad. That was a bad play. I don't know if that was the yips as much as it was getting ahead of himself. It was like a classic, almost like in football, a wide receiver starts to run and looks downfield before he catches the ball. But yeah, I'm worried about him. I've been worried about him the entire year. And it's not like I think he's gonna show up and be some sort of, like, you know, there's going to be some playoff revelation with him. I think he is what he is at this point.
Well, if you want to play in the Mecca of basketball.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
You want to have your jersey lifted to the rafters.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, you're going to have to figure out how to beat these teams.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
I mean, it's like going to a Broadway play every night when you go to Madison Square Garden, because you're there to see the Knicks, and the Knicks, for the most part, usually win. Except for when a superstar comes in and decides to light up the Mecca, or when the Celtics or Cavaliers or the Thunder come in and they decide, you know, we're just going to, you know, wear you down.
Yeah, he's been, we need him to be the Verrazano. He's been more like the Driscoll. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. Yeah, the Driscoll bridge, just very flat bridge. Doesn't excite me at all.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.